Well, hello. Well, hello, and welcome back to Etsy and Beyond. So today we're going to be talking to Sharon, a longtime Etsy seller who has a very specific tip for you. She has been working from home ever since she had kids and basically came across the struggle that everyone with kids tells me is, you know, the major challenge. When you got kids running around, it's really difficult to get, you know, an hour in here and there for work, and work really can suffer when you're caring for the house, when you're caring for kids, when you're trying to organize the logistics of a household in general. Because of course, since you're home, you're responsible for all of it, right? So one of the things that Sharon figured out after she initially tried to post stuff on Etsy thinking, oh, sales will just come, and realize that wasn't true, is that if you get onto the major search engines, you can work a lot less because those search engines will do the work for you. Let's start by hearing from Sharon and then let's discuss what she discovered.
Hi, Jenny. Thanks so much for having me on your podcast. This truly is an honor. I look to you for all things Etsy related. So this is so fun to be on your podcast and give a chance to tell everybody how I have found success in this and just kind of my struggles as well. Just give you a little background of who I am. My name is Sharon Marta. I'm a freelance graphic designer. I've been working from home for 13 years now. I have 4 kids. So as soon as I started having kids, I started working from home. My kids are ages 5 through 14 now. And so as you can imagine, working from home with little ones is a huge, huge struggle to try and fit time into working on my business, especially when I already have a freelance business, trying to squeeze in extra time to work in Etsy and all that. So I really didn't start with Etsy until about 4 years ago. And I wasn't really that into it, just kind of threw some stuff up. I didn't know anything about SEO or anything about Etsy, just thought, oh, I'll just post stuff and I'll start to see income. People will start ordering right away. Just kind of ignorant to all that. And then when I didn't have orders, I kind of was like, well, how do I get orders? So I really started researching it a little bit more about a year and a half ago. And that's when I set up my website and really got serious about bringing in more traffic. So my huge tip for bringing in more traffic and hence more sales into your Etsy shop is to get on the major search engines that are out there, not just Etsy. So I'm talking about Google, YouTube, and Pinterest. So I would suggest starting with one. Don't do like I did, which was go in every direction. Just because I'm a graphic designer, I tend to do everything at once because I can, but that doesn't mean that that is the right thing to do. So I kind of went all out with everything, but I think you can definitely just focus in one area for now, especially when you're like me and you don't have a ton of time. Definitely Pinterest was like a huge aha moment where I really saw a huge increase in traffic come in. I literally only had about 10 blog posts at the time, not a lot. And I really researched pin titles and I researched SEO on Pinterest and I got into Tailwind so that I could join their tribes. And Jenny talks about Tailwind and their tribes and how the tribe system is like a one-for-one exchange system where I pin your pin and you pin my pin so that we can be getting our pins exposed to each other's audiences, which is great. Doesn't always mean it's going to bring in traffic, but with all the Pinterest like research I was doing, I made sure that I was noticing the top pins, and Jenny talks about this too, is researching the top pins in your category. So do a search for what you sell. Look at the top pins, what titles are they using, what graphics are they using, and really think about how you can make a title that is similar, not copying, but similar, that really will capture people's attention to want to click. And then also looking at graphics, noticing what graphics really pop out to you, and really take a notice to like the detail of why they pop out to you. Is it because they're on a dark background? Is it because they're using a particular type font? Is it because the image is really big? what really stands out to you and notice where your eye goes first. I don't know if people really pay attention to where their eye goes first, but that shows what you're attracted to. So if you're noticing your eye is going to one particular pin over another, it's because you're attracted to it. So just kind of go, okay, what is it about this one that really attracts me? And kind of analyze. I'm totally an analyzer, so I love to analyze why things work and why I'm attracted to something. And I've just noticed that. And so with my pin that started just taking off on Pinterest, I made sure that it was on a different kind of format than I was normally seeing. I made it really long, and I made the headline on a darker background that with kind of a texture to it that I hadn't normally seen people doing. I usually see people do really, really simple graphics. So mine kind of stood out a little bit more from theirs because I added a texture and I added like a little bit more element to a drop shadow. So it kind of looked like it was popping off the page a little bit. I'm not saying you have to do that with everything, but I think that was one of the reasons why this pin in particular was standing out. Just notice what things you could do differently to make yours stand out from everybody else's. I know there's a lot of templates out there right now on Canva, and I think that's great, but I also think it's unfortunate because everybody uses them and then you start seeing the same thing everywhere. So trying to stand out in that sea of commonality is going to be your challenge in figuring that out. So that's kind of where you can stand there, but definitely get into Pinterest and Tailwind. Those were my kind of first aha moments. And like I said, I only had like 10 blog posts at the time, and I started seeing 5,000 new people coming to my website every single month just from that one to two. I think I even had like three pins that were really doing well, but one pin in particular was really doing well, and it was bringing in most of my traffic. The second area was YouTube. And again, I really didn't have many YouTube videos. In fact, I only have like two instructional videos for my Etsy clients that really were just to give instruction on how to use my product. I have Canva templates and PDF templates. So I was just walking them through how to use them, how to print out a label and all that. But I did really good research on the SEO keywords and titling and thumbnail of my YouTube, same that I did with Pinterest. I wanted to carry that over. So on YouTube, it wasn't an instant increase on YouTube as it was on Pinterest, but I'm now a year later after I posted that, seeing the numbers kind of rapidly increasing all at once. So it was, you know, slowly, slowly starting. But I think as SEO kind of ramps up and as people start clicking on my video more and more, YouTube starts showing it more and more. So that one has 5,000 views, and that one, and I, again, I have not posted a video other than that one like in a year, but that one's still bringing me traffic. So that's huge. And I make sure to put in my description a link to my Etsy shop, a link to my website, and then I also incentivize them to go to my website with a freebie. And that's another thing that I definitely recommend is having a freebie. I give a free download, a free label download, a free digital download on my website. That way I can capture their email address and keep people up in the loop when I have new products, when I have sales, those kind of things. Because unfortunately, you guys probably know that Etsy doesn't allow you to email your customers, which is unfortunate. And that's a huge way of staying engaged with your audience, keeping in the forefront of their minds that you still are around, that you still have products, and really have them, people that you already know like your stuff, coming back. So definitely make sure you get a way to capture email addresses. That's another side note, but how you do that is through that third search engine, which is Google, which is having a website. And I know not everybody has a website. It can be seriously daunting to put a website together. I try to do as simple as possible, and I use Squarespace, and I tell all my clients, and that's what I use with my clients, is I use Squarespace. And I'm even starting to make templates for people because I just feel like it's such an easy process, at least for me, to help people as much as possible to get a website together. It would be huge. That way they can overcome that hurdle of building a website and start seeing their traffic come in from their pins, from their YouTube videos, you know, from all that traffic that's coming from the other search engines, and localize it on your website. And that way you have really control over your audience and control over what your people are seeing and that kind of thing. All those three search engines are huge, and Jenny definitely talks about these in her tips on how to increase your traffic and increase your income on Etsy. One more side tip that I'll say real quickly, which is getting in Facebook groups and letting people know about your sales. If it's a mutually agreed upon group where you can post about your business, definitely get in those. But that's another topic. But again, thank you so much, Jenny, for having me on your podcast. This has truly been an honor, and I will catch you guys all later. Thanks. Bye.
So thank you, Sharon, so much for sharing your experience. Just to sum up, Sharon is talking about getting on the top three search engines to get yourself more exposure. So basically, we're going where the traffic already is instead of trying to find the traffic and get it to come to us. There are a lot of places with a lot of traffic. I mean, Sharon could have picked Instagram. She could have picked Facebook. She could have picked Twitter. But you know what? She named three specific ones that worked well for her. And I do think that depending on what order you want to go in, these can actually be quite easy to use. So she named Google, YouTube, and Pinterest. And based on her story, it sounds like she started with all three. She was saying that don't do it all at once. And so many people come to me and they're like, but if I do more, won't I get more traffic? And you would think, right, that if you did everything at once, you'd just be seeing a constant flow of traffic. But the reality is that each one of these platforms takes time to master. Just posting stuff and waiting for sales to come to you is exactly the mistake that most people would make on Etsy. It's the exact same mistake. So don't just post stuff on every single one and wait for things to happen. Notice in all of her stories, Sharon talks about how she figured out each platform. And what she did was not that tricky. On Pinterest, she said it was all about the graphics. Pinterest is a visually based platform. So she took the time to make beautiful pins that were not just, you know, her Etsy items on repeat. Now, Sharon has blog articles, which helped to drive traffic to her website, but in our tribe, we have over 1,000 Etsy sellers, and we see people doing this exact same thing with their Etsy items every single day. And some people just post a picture of their Etsy item, you know, cool, so is everybody else. But some people actually create templates and drop their items into them to get a better graphic punch when you're scrolling through Pinterest looking at items, since so many people do come to Pinterest to shop. Doing this can really make a difference. Note that Sharon mentioned she had one pin, just one pin in particular, that was driving her all kinds of traffic. That's actually something all three of her platforms that she named have in common. Unlike Facebook or Instagram, where you post something and it basically disappears 20 minutes later, never to be found again, all the platforms she's talking about have what I would call virality, which means that you can do something a year or two or even three ago, and it can still be getting traffic to this day. And the idea of doing one thing that can get you traffic for, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 years ongoing is such an amazing prospect for business. Like, why would you want to keep doing the work over and over on, say, Instagram, when you could post one YouTube video or post one pin and keep tweaking it until it works? Like, this is a much easier way to go. It's much less of an uphill climb. That's basically what I think Sharon is saying here. Pinterest, YouTube, and Google are so amazing, but Pinterest is by far the easiest. If you want to start with something easy and simple and just focus on one platform at a time, which, by the way, you should be doing if you are focusing on all of them, you will suffer. It will be hard. Don't waste your time trying. If you want to just start with one platform, Pinterest is a great one to start with. It's really beginner friendly. You don't need to interact. You don't need to comment. You don't need to do anything special. You don't have to use hashtags and stuff if you don't want to. You can just try it, which is what I like about Pinterest. And Sharon so has it right. Research what else is going on with other people who are selling what you sell. Look around Pinterest. Do some stalking. See what's working and what doesn't. What are you attracted to? Try and create those same things that you would be attracted to. Now, the cool thing I want to talk about with what Sharon said was that one pin that went kind of crazy for her was giving her 5,000 people to her website every single month. That's insane. Can you imagine getting that level of Etsy traffic off of one pin? It is doable. People do it all the time. You just got to keep tweaking until you get there with your pin. So keep adjusting, keep moving, keep trying new things, keep trying new products, new angles, etc. You probably have all the photos you need in your Etsy shop. All you got to do is add them to an attractive little template. Now, when Sharon went on to talk about YouTube, note she's actually saying the same thing here. She says she has two instructional videos she hasn't uploaded in a year. It took a year, but those videos are still bringing her traffic to this day, and she hasn't uploaded a single other thing to YouTube, another highly viral platform where you don't have to put in a ton of work. You can get some things moving and then go from there. The tools I recommend for YouTube, especially if you don't want to be on camera, would be something like Biteable, which allows you to make beautiful videos out of templates that are consistently working, and it's really easy. You can get access to stock video just right there in the Biteable platform, which is so cool. The other one I like is TubeBuddy. Sharon talks about how she figured out YouTube SEO, and that is, for some of us, is going to be easier said than done. TubeBuddy, if you install it on Chrome, will actually show you the keywords that other creators like you are using so you can do similar things. It'll help you create your YouTube videos and kind of give you a grading system so that you know if you're doing the right thing. So you don't have to do all that work yourself. Okay, and finally, Google. Google is the hardest one, I would say, and it's definitely the last one you should go for if you're trying to do a focus strategy like we've suggested and do one at a time. So the order I would recommend is Pinterest, YouTube, Google. Now, Google is really hard because making a website is a long, drawn out process, and it's also easier said than done. Building a website can cost you, $12,000, or it can cost you $120,000, and the results you get from those sorts of things could be similar. That's the funny thing. Like, how do you even know if you've never done this before? Hiring an expert can make a huge difference, or finding a platform like Sharon suggests, like Squarespace, that makes it easy for you to do it yourself is really, really helpful. Now, Sharon clearly has a handle on email marketing, which she hinted at a little bit in this conversation. If you want to capitalize on your website, a lot of people think a website is just there to get exposure for their brand. That's not the purpose of a website. If you have a website that's just there to show off your brand and for people to potentially shop at, you are missing out. The purpose of a website is to get someone to give you their contact info, because they're not very likely to buy from you the first time. But if you can send them interesting things and get them coming back, the more they come back, the more likely they are to buy. So the purpose of any website should be to get someone's contact info. That could be email, that could be SMS, could be, a mini chat, which is like a Facebook chat where they click a link and it goes straight to your Facebook Messenger. All of those things work fine. Doesn't matter which one you pick. Sharon clearly picked email. So if you can build a website that gives somebody something interesting that they want to give you their information for, or something they want to chat with you about in the example of Facebook chat, all of those things can change your business overnight because suddenly you have a contact list of people who are interested in your product and potentially eager to buy. So when it comes to Google, if you're at this last step and you're ready to kind of move forward with your traffic, you have Pinterest, you have YouTube kind of doing at least a little something for you in the background, then I would suggest doing a little research before you just jump in and say open a Shopify site or whatever, because those sites are not designed to collect people's info, which is what you want to create a business that gets sales every month. So many websites make like 10 bucks a month and that's it. And then those customers never come back again. So it's so hard to make legitimate monthly income off of a website unless you have a reason to get them coming back. Capitalizing on Google search is one way, but the best way is to have their contact info, because that Google search only works for you one time and then you're waiting for new people. That email gives you return customers who tend to invest more in your business than any other type of customer. So if you want to check out Sharon's services and her Etsy shop and see what she does and how she creates her own websites, please feel free to check the links below. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you're enjoying our seller interviews. Please do not hesitate to record your own. You have an experience we want to hear about. And remember that just one small thing can help someone else out there quite a bit. So please feel free to look below if you want to be a part of the podcast. I am accepting entries. Thanks so much for listening and have a great week. Today we were having all kinds of noise problems. We've got workers in the back. We've got cats that won't shut up. We've got all the issues today. It's going to be great fun. one of the things that Sharon figured out was that, hang on, we got cats. Make more noise, cat. Seriously, just make more noise. Great, good job, lovely. You done? Beautiful, okay, very appreciated. Glad that we can move on with our lives. Okay, is such an amazing prospect. The cat's gonna knock something off the counter. Bye.